In our first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah and in the gospel, we hear mentioned two obscure lands, regions, Zebulun and Naphtali. They're obscure. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing them rightly. I just copy the deacon. And I trust you don't know any more than I do about these matters, and so let's just act like this is the right pronunciation, Zebulun and Naphtali. Dear people, to break open this beautiful gospel, Jesus, right at the beginning, this is the very beginning of his mission. It's the very beginning. It's the first words that come out of his mouth. In order to understand what he's after and how he does it for us, I need to put these in historical context. So please focus. I need to walk through salvation history in about 3 minutes. It begins with our father in faith, Abraham. Yahweh enters into friendship with Abraham first and promises that he will make him a great nation, give him a great land with descendants as numerous as the sands on the seashore. He makes that promise in faith. And he enters, and within that enters this dynamic. Those promises he will only fulfill now at those times when all seems lost. But his friends keep faith. And so Abraham has made this promise, all these descendants, and nothing happens. He is now 100 years old, and his wife Sarah is 90. All seems pretty lost. And God gives him Isaac. God gives him Isaac for the descendants. Then Isaac is the son, is the father of Jacob. Listen closely now. Jacob is given the name by God, Israel. And Jacob has 12 sons that become the 12 tribes of Israel. And two of those sons are named Zebulun and Naphtali. Isn't this fun? Fast forward about 1,000 years. We got to skip over Egypt, those 500 years. Moses. Eventually, Moses leads them into this promised land, the land promised to Abraham, Israel. In a couple hundred more years, King David establishes the kingdom of Israel united. Promise fulfilled. The 12 tribes settle. And the two tribes that settle in the very north is the tribe of Zebulun and the tribe of Naphtali, north of the Sea of Galilee. And then in 722, the world power, the Assyrians, invade Israel from the north through Zebulun and Naphtali, and they destroy the kingdom of Israel. All is lost. The people of Israel are exiled, like Canada invading us and taking us all into Canada somewhere. The promise is lost. 722. Now fast forward another 750 years. Thanks for sticking with me. Fast forward 750 years, 30 AD, when this gospel is happening. It says, in this very place where all this destruction happened, All this loss entered into Israel, all this hopelessness and darkness, this entry where all was lost. It says this: when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Nazareth and he went to the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. The principle I want to hold up, dear people, is when Jesus comes to restore us and free us, he goes to the beginning, where our hopelessness begins. He comes to meet us where this hopelessness has entered into our life. The people who live in darkness have seen a great light. This is where he begins, in the very heart and center of where destruction happened, where loss occurred. Where is your Zebulun and Naphtali? Where has hopelessness entered into you? Where all seems lost. For a young person, maybe the loss of your innocence. For an adult, the loss of a relationship that we thought was of God. Or the idea you had of what your life would be like now. It's done. Those dreams are lost. Maybe something, a choice one made a long time ago, and it still causes one terrible hopelessness. This is where the Lord comes. And he goes to that place and he says his first word: repent. He gives one command for us there: repent. Now, unfortunately, the word repent we can sometimes kind of hear as a shame on you, straighten up, get your act together. It certainly involves turning away from sin. But for those of us who are trying to follow Jesus, the primary act of repentance, dear people, for those who sit in darkness and this great light comes, for us to meet it, listen closely, to repent is about turning away from hopelessness. Darkness. Following Jesus, for those of us who are trying and aren't perfect, one of the primary acts is to turn away from hopelessness. To repent and not listen to that silly stuff, that all is lost. This is good news. It is hopelessness that tries to bring us, that brings us in this yucky place and pulls us from God. Years ago, a major Zebulun and Naphtali entered our country. It's called Roe versus Wade. And a tremendous amount of darkness and loss and destruction and hopelessness has entered our land through this terrible decision. Jesus wants to go to the source and stop it and bring healing to come and bring hope to the darkness that comes from that choice. So, dear people, on this anniversary, we need to keep hope. Staying with Christ has so much to do with fighting for keeping hope. That pro-life is pro-hope. And we don't give up. And anyone who's been affected by that choice, that you don't give up hope. All is not lost. The kingdom of heaven is there. And so let us commit ourselves to our hope in Christ and to repent where we listen to that condemning voice, that hopelessness. Let us repent and turn to the Lord and cling to Him and renew our hope and trust in Him. Let us do that this week as we continue to pray that our land will be freed from this. Together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.